can take our Bibles tonight to 1 Peter, once again, chapter number 1. 1 Peter, chapter number 1 tonight. We're going to be looking at verses 5 through 7. And 1 Peter, chapter number 1, the title of tonight's message is Strong During Trials. As we taught at the beginning when we opened up 1 Peter, the Lord Jesus Christ told Peter to strengthen the brethren. And we believe that's what Peter is trying to do here. He's written this epistle to these first century Christians. And they are facing many, many great trials. And tonight we're going to talk about how you can actually be strong during trials. And this passage of scripture, and sometimes it seems like when you preach certain passages of scriptures, you don't want to miss anything. And I think in verse number 7 is probably one of the theme verses for the whole entire book. And I want to make sure the message gets across the way it's supposed to, because it's just powerful. If we can understand that God allows trials to come into our life someday, most of the time to refine us and to make us more like Jesus Christ, it is a happy day when we understand that God uses different things to make us more like Jesus Christ. When we understand that God loves us, and He loves us so much, He wants us to become more like Jesus Christ. And He allows things to happen to refine us and to make us more like His Son. And it's just a happy day when we understand that God is always at work, and He is working in our hearts. He's working in our lives. And here in 1 Peter chapter number 1, we're going to read all the way down through verse number 7. We're going to start in chapter 1, verse number 1. And in verses 5 through 7, we're going to see why we can be strong during trials. 1 Peter 1, verse number 1 says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout. And we looked at that idea of strangers. It's not the idea that they were all strangers to that area, but instead that they were strangers and pilgrims in this world, and how if we're going to live for God, we're going to face persecution, and that we are going to be strangers. Now, some of these are the Jewish people that have been forced out of the city of Jerusalem, the area of Jerusalem, because of the persecution. But there's also Gentiles that this book was written to, and we'll look at that as we have before in chapter number 2 as we closer to that, throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. And we talked about how we can be strong here because of the fact that it's according to God's foreknowledge. God knew who was going to become a Christian, who was going to accept Christ. And the great thing about that, God knows everything. He knows everything you're going through. And that's what this book is about, having hope during trials. And that if He knew that you were going to receive Christ, He knows the trial you're in. He knows the difficulty you're facing right at this moment in time. And He can do all things. He is God, and He loves you. And His foreknowledge, it says, of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience, sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. And we talked about grace and peace. We talked about the sprinkling there a little bit. Verse number 3, I believe these are the verses we looked at last week. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy, and we are very thankful that He is very, very merciful to us, hath begotten us again. We talked about how that's similar to being born again in that terminology, that He's begotten us again unto a lively hope. And we have a living hope because Jesus Christ is no longer in the grave. He is alive. And we see by the resurrection, we know that this hope is true and we can trust in it. It's not just wishful thinking, but it's an expected end because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And talked about nothing can take that inheritance away. He keeps that theme going in verse number 5. It says here, and these are the verses we're going to look at tonight, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And who better to keep our salvation than God Himself? I mean, the power of God through faith. Verse number 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Now, here you're getting this idea that he's talking about greatly rejoicing, and he's begin talking about temptations or these trials or the heaviness that comes with living in this world. And how can you rejoice during trials? And this is what we're going to talk a little bit about tonight. Verse number 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious. Now, it doesn't just say precious. It actually says much more precious. That when you are facing trials, that this is more precious than what? Than of gold that perisheth. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. No, Jesus Christ is coming back someday. We have gotten so apathetic with that thought. We have gotten, because it's been so long, and we people are scoffs at us, and people criticize us, and people look at us like we're lunatics because we believe that someone's going to come from heaven for his people. You know what? We've forgotten that. We don't live our lives like this idea that Jesus Christ could come back even today, even now, and we need to live our lives. And that's what it's saying here, that if we look at our trials and the trial of our faith, it actually becomes more precious than gold, because the day is going to come that we get to stand before him. And if we could stand before him, as the Bible says, unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, some people will be ashamed at his coming, but others will be excited about what God has been doing in their life. Here in verses 5 through 7, we're going to look at three different things tonight. We can be content with his defense. And the second thing is, we can, I want to make sure I get this right here. We can be changed by his dealings also, and we can be confident with his deliverance. And we're going to look at these three things about how to be strong tonight during trials. Let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help tonight. Lord, I pray that after a long day for many people, that you get to get our hearts and our minds ready and open to the word of God. Lord, there's some wonderful truths in this passage that can help us, that can encourage us, that can motivate us and move us to want to live for you and want to serve you better. Lord, as we consider Peter penning these words, how many hundreds of years ago he's writing this to a group of people who have been persecuted. Lord, people that are fearing for their lives just because they're Christians. Help us to read it in this context and help us to see how they were encouraged and how they were excited and how they were even able to rejoice during the times of their trials. And help us to make this application to us that are believers, Lord, that we can rejoice because we know God is at work and God is always moving and God is always dealing with us. And Lord, how we can be changed by his dealings. But Lord, also I pray that each person here tonight know you as Savior and that they are being kept by the power of God. Lord, work in our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, point number one, and the reason why we can be strong during the trials is because we can be content with his defense. We can be content with his defense. I know we spent time with this last week when we were talking about our inheritance, how nothing can change that inheritance, how it's reserved in heaven. So we will not spend as much time this week on this, but we got to look at verse number 5 and we see how we are kept. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. The word kept here is in the Greek word is pure role. And this is a verb that means the action is still going on. It's a military term. Paul used this word to describe how his enemy, the governor of Damascus, kept a city under armed guard, hoping that they might be able to apprehend him. It says in 2 Corinthians 11:32, in Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of Damascus with a garrison desiring to apprehend me. Now, what he's saying here is that it's that the city was kept and that the garrison kept the city and they were looking for the Apostle Paul. And that's what this terminology is getting, is that God has kept our salvation, or we are kept by the power of God. Our inheritance is kept by the power of God. This word power here is the great word dunamis. It refers to God's untrammeled, unhindered power. And our faith should be assured of this, that the great power of God, the power of God that is limitless, the power of God that can do all things, is what keeps our inheritance, our salvation. John 10:27-29 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And this is key. We can have confidence. We can have contentment in the fact that we know that God's in charge and that God's in control of all things, that no one is able to come and take us out of God's hands, that nothing, no situation, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God, and that we can be content in that. And I said, this, you say, why do you keep on bringing this up? Well, the Bible brings it up, but when we're going through trials, sometimes have you ever felt like, will this ever end? Will this ever stop? You know, if God can't do these, God's allowing these things happen, is my salvation safe? And yes, it is. Trials and tribulations in this world, Jesus told us to expect them. They are going to come. May all who live godly suffer, all those who live godly will suffer persecution. And it's help us so we understand that we be content with the fact that we are in safe hands of God. And when we're facing a trial and a test, we can hold to this and say, look, I'm in God's hands. And my salvation is secured and my salvation is safe. There are people who say you can lose your salvation. I don't think the Bible teaches that. I think the Bible teaches against that. I think there are people who say you can't know you're on your way to heaven. And I think the Bible teaches that you can know and that you can be kept. Second thing, and once again, that contentment is important. When we find rest and security in the fact that we're in God's hands, that will change the way we look at the trial. Second thing is where we're going to spend most of our time is we can be confident with His deliverance. We can be confident with His deliverance. Look what it says here in verse number 6. Wherein you greatly rejoice. Once again, how you can rejoice during trials. You can't do it on your own. We need God's help to be able to do that. There's three phrases here that we're going to look at for a little while. Though now for a season. It's given the reference here that, you know what, these trials are coming, but they are only for a season, which meaning it's only for a certain time period. That next phrase is a phrase that I've been thinking about since I first started studying this. It says, if need be. And when I think about that phrase, I think what the Bible is saying there, if we need a trial to become more like Jesus Christ, if there's something that we need to work on, or there's a certain purpose, we can be confident in His deliverance because these trials happens for a purpose. If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold. Now this word manifold gives this idea of different. There's many different ways that you can have a trial. Manifold temptations. You will face heaviness through the trials, but we can be confident in His deliverance. So those are the three things we're going to look at tonight when it comes about being confident with His deliverance. If you're a Christian, your faith is going to be tried. Some feel like because you're Christians, we shouldn't have any type of problems, but the Bible doesn't teach us that. The Bible tells us that we will face persecutions and tribulations. This first century church obviously was not doing anything wrong, and they were facing persecution because of their faith. So the first thing I want you to see about, we can be confident because our tribulation comes in many different forms. It comes in many different forms. Look what it says at the end of verse number 6, heaviness through manifold temptations. Now, many of us face different trials and different temptations. What tries me may not try you, and what tries you may not try me. Our trials come in many different ways. The Bible says that there are manifold temptations. It might come through illness. It might come through the death of a loved one. It might come through a natural catastrophe. It might come to something failing in our lives. But God uses many different things to work on us. And the particular thing that you're going through may be something that never touches my life, but it may be something that you have to deal with for long periods of time. You know, trials come in all different type of forms. You say, Pastor, how can I be confident about that? It's because when you go through everything that you're going through, there is lots of different trials and there's lots of different testings. But remember, the foreknowledge of God knows exactly where you're at. I know sometimes people's trials can be maybe a loved one that's unsaved or away from God. Or maybe someone's trial could be a sickness of a child or a grandchild or losing a mate. You know, to lose a husband or a wife, especially at a younger age, I mean, those are trials that people have to face, but not all of us have to face those. There is different manifold, what it says here, manifold temptations, and that word trial. The second thing, not only will it come in different forms, but it will only be for a season. It will only be for a season. You ever come to the spot, you wonder and say, will this ever end? I know some of us, some of you I've heard, and it's not me yet, but you deal with arthritis or you deal with this pain or this maybe your knee or your hip or something like that, and it's a constant nagging pain that will never go away. And I don't live with that just yet, but some of you have back pain that you live with constantly, or maybe a shoulder pain or a knee pain, and you're like feeling like, will this ever stop? Or might even think about what is next. And trials, they come in different sizes, but they come in different lengths too. Some are acute. They come on quickly. They're very difficult to deal with, but soon they subside. Some others are chronic in nature. They become traumatic, maybe not as traumatic to begin with, but they last for days and months and even years. But you say, well, that doesn't sound very encouraging. Well, the point is, they are only temporary. Nothing can last beyond this life. Even if you got something that really hurts and every single day or when the rain comes or when you just deal with a constant pain, and I'm not minimizing it because I'm not looking forward to it someday, you got to realize that it is only for a season. It will not last for eternity. Our hope is found in God. The Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the mornings. Our trials are for a limited time. They will not go on forever. But you know what? One of the tests and one of the tricks of the devil is he will tell you that nothing will ever change. This is always going to be like that, and you're constantly going to have to live with this forever. And the devil is a liar, because that's not true. It's not going to be forever, because there is a day coming that when Jesus Christ comes back that we will not have to deal with the trials and the tribulations of this world. Many of us have been involved in something that might seem so terrible to deal with, and we turn around and say, how in the world or when in the world will this ever be over? But I tell you, I don't know about you, but the trials of my life, I can look back and say, it wasn't very much fun to go through at that moment in time, but I learned something. I grew in that, and I've become closer to God because of that trial and because of that situation. Peter, gone through many different types of trials and temptations, and now you see God using him in a powerful way, and God is able to deliver us out of any temptation. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. And when you go back and you look over your trials, there's much that we've learned. There's much that we can say that we have been through, but there's also encouragement in the fact that we know we have learned something. This next phrase is the one I wanted to look at here. Is this: it will always have a purpose. And that's that little phrase there. You saw in verse number 6, you know, for a season. It's only going to last for a short season. Even if it is in this lifetime, even if you live to be 100 years old, that's still short compared to eternity. But you also see the manifold temptations, that they come in all different forms and all different shapes. And what tempts one person or is important to one person, other people may laugh at, but it's important to you. But this last phrase, if need be, is the thought that I've been going over in my mind. The statement, if need be, means that the trial of your faith has a purpose. And God is really the only one who knows the if need be's in our life. Some people will say, I know exactly the reason why that happened to another Christian. They're lying. They don't know. No one knows the reason why God goes and allows people to go through. And people can speculate things. People can say, well, because they did this sin, or because they needed this, or because they needed that. We can all speculate and guess. But God is the only one who knows the if need be's of our life. And that's what it's saying here. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, talking about our trials, how they last for a season, we can rejoice because they are only for a season, if need be. And what I think it's saying here is that it's saying that we sometimes need something to get our attention. We need God's help at different times. If I were sick and I would want to go to a competent doctor, and if I went to that doctor and I told the doctor my symptoms, he may take out a prescription pad and he says, here, take this, go to the pharmacy, take this, this is what you need. And you know what? I want to believe and trust in that doctor. If I go to the doctor for a broken leg, hopefully he's not going to give me something for a flu. It's the idea that I am trusting that he's going to give me exactly what I need. And I got to be honest with you, I have been disappointed by doctors before. There are doctors sometimes that's why they call it practicing medicine, because sometimes I don't think that they know what they're doing, or they have not my best interest at heart. Instead, they have somebody else's best interest at heart, and that discourages me. But thankfully, we serve the great physician. And that great physician, our Heavenly Father, knows exactly what our need be is. He knows what we need to have. He knows what we need to become more like Jesus Christ. We've preached on more than one occasion. Remember, good things, bad things happen to good people. And we looked at different reasons why. We talked about how sometimes it is because of sin. Sometimes God does allow a trial or a temptation to come into our lives, so that way we can get our attention. And that way we can stop dealing with a certain sin or struggling with a certain sin, bringing things into our hearts, bringing things into our lives. And even biblical, that God shows us different things that get our attention. Also, we talked about sometimes is just to try to conform us into the image of his son. Sometimes God allows certain things to happen to just show us something that we need to work on. You think about the story of Job. You think about how there's four different messengers, and you think about how it took them to say certain things time after time. Look, you've lost your sheep. You lost this. You lost this. You lost your children. time after time. And then he deals with his physical needs. And how, what was his description? He must have been some wicked man. No, you go to Job chapter 1. He was upright. He eschewed evil. He did have something he needed to work on. And there was something that God was able to use those temptations and those trials to help him to see his need. And how it says at the end that he repented in dust and ashes, that he had whore himself. He said he had heard of him by the hearing of the eye, but now he seeth him. There was a reason for that. And that reason was for him to become more like Jesus Christ. And we also looked at sometimes our trials are is to help others. And we looked at that verse before, 2 Corinthians 1:4, who comfort us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. I think God sometimes allows each of us to go through certain trials and testing, and he's preparing us so that way someday down in the future, you're going to be able to go help somebody else that's dealing with the same thing. If you can learn to be comforted by God, that's what it's saying here, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort with, wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You know, if somebody comes and they've lost a loved one, maybe at a, maybe you lost a husband, and then I go and try to talk to them. I cannot explain to a widow lady how, what it feels like to lose your husband. I can sit there with them. I can spend time with them. I can try to be as close to them and be there for them as much as I can. But you know who can be the greatest help to them? As someone who has gone through the same thing, and God has helped them, and God has comforted them, and God has said, hey, look, I've been through it. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be a little bit of a trial. It's going to be a little bit of a test. But with God's help, you're going to get better, because they've seen that. They've gone through that. They've experienced that. And sometimes I honestly believe that when we pray to God and say, God, whatever you want to do with me, whatever you want to use me as, however you want me to be dealt with, so I make me a blessing to somebody else. Because when we give our hearts over to God and say, God, whatever you want to do with me, go ahead. God sometimes said, hey, look, there's going to be somebody who needs you later on. I'm going to have you face this. I'm going to have you live through this. And now you're going to be able to go help that person. He's thinking about the Apostle Paul. God was in it. He didn't like his thorn in the flesh. He asked for it to be taken away. But what does God say? His grace is sufficient. If God is in it, he will give us a calm assurance in our heart. As you trust him, remember, it's for a reason. The Bible says, if need be, our troubles and our heartaches, everything we deal with, God has a purpose. Life takes on a sweeter taste when we realize there is a purpose in these things. And sometimes we're willing to go through certain things when we realize there's a reason behind it. But it's not always our job to understand the reason. It's our job to have faith in God. When we are dealing with things, we need to say, God, speak to me through this. Teach me what you want me to learn. Help me to understand while you're allowing me to go through this. Once again, Peter is writing this to a group of believers who are facing death because of their faith. And he's saying, look, you can greatly rejoice in your trials, in your tribulations, in your temptations. Because number one, they're for a season. Number two, because they have a purpose. And don't be discouraged when they come in different forms, in different ways. There's manifold temptations. It's going to continue on. It's not going to stop. But you can rejoice because they're only for a short period of time. We have gotten so focused on living in this world here and now that we do not look at the day that Jesus Christ is coming and saying, it would be better for me to face this temptation today if I can be more like him when I see him someday. And that's where you come to verse number 7. We can be changed by his dealings. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious, not just precious, much more precious than of gold that perisheth. You see the preciousness of the trial. You know, Job 23:10 said, but he knoweth the way that I take. For when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. See, trials are God's unique way of purging and purifying our lives, that we might be more usable for his service, his purpose and his service. God could take all the trials away. And if God took away all the hard times, he took away all the trials, you know what? Will we turn out better? No, we wouldn't. It is the trials and the hardships of times of life that many times we learn to depend on him, and when we trust on him, and if we got everything we always wanted, then we would probably never ever pray. But the trials and the temptations of life are precious. So the preciousness of the trials, as I mentioned earlier, is a great time in our lives when we realize that God loves us so much that he wants to make us better, even when he knows that it may be difficult for us. Listen to that again. It is a great time in our lives when we realize that God loves us so much that he wants to make us better, even when he knows that it will be more difficult for us. You think about your parents. Sometimes as parents, when you're dealing with your children, sometimes there are things that you have to do that cause them to go through difficult things to learn something. You know, it would be so much easier if we just pick up our child and carry it around because it was hard for them to learn how to walk. But sooner or later, you're going to get too big. You can't carry them around. And there are certain things that you have to learn. There are certain things when I teach my sons, and I'm trying to teach my sons to do, I could do it in 10 minutes. It takes them over an hour to do it. And what is it you're trying to do? You're trying to say, look, it is going to be hard on you. It is going to be tough on you. But I'm trying to help you for the future, to help teach you and show you and train you and to make you into men. And hopefully people who love the Lord, and there are certain things we will just say, yeah, it might be difficult, yeah, it might be hard, it may be tough, but it's what's best for them to learn and learn these different things now. And that's what I think when we view it that way, and we see, you know what, God loves us, and God is trying to do something in our lives, and it is precious that we go through these trials. He loves us so much that he wants us to be better, and because he wants us to be better, even though it may be difficult for us, even though at times it may be distasteful for us, we know in the end it is going to be what's best for us. The Bible says in Isaiah 48:10, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Charles Haddon Spurgeon had that up in his office, and he faced many different type of physical difficulties, and it was a verse he came close to him because he realized that God had loved him and that God was refining him, and fire was not easy, but it was something that was precious. One of the real secrets in life is being thankful for trials. If we become bitter, you know what we do? We begin to question the goodness of God. We begin to question why things happen in our lives. We begin to question the goodness of God. I think of Dr. John Bishop that was here he came and gave his testimony and preached. And, you know, he had every right. If anybody could be bitter, it would be him. Or Brother Kirby Campbell that we heard, and he's going to come back for our friend day. You know, he said, I wanted God to glorify me. I wanted God to glorify himself in my life. And he was facing manifold temptations, huge trials. But he looked at it and he says, look, these trials are precious because they are making me more like Jesus Christ. Paul did not enjoy that thorn in the flesh, but when he realized it was for a purpose, what did he do? He thanked God. He gloried in his weakness and gloried inside his infirmities. So we see the preciousness of trials. We also see the purifying of trials. Though it be tried with fire, gold is not destroyed by fire, but rather is made more pure. See, when the dross is separated from the precious metal, it comes to the point where it becomes more pure. See, we boil certain foods to make sure bacteria will not harm us. We even refine crude oil to make it more usable in our homes. God uses the same process to make us vessels of honor and people that can be used by God. That's what we got to look at these trials. That's what we can rejoice. I know no one's going to jump up and say, yes, God's putting me through another trial. God's giving me another sickness. God's hurt somebody else. No, we're not going to do that, but we're going to look at it and say, my God that loves me so much and cares for me so much has allowed this to happen to my life. I know he loves me. I know he's in charge of everything. I'm going to count on him. I'm going to trust in him, and I'm going to view this trial of a faith that is going to help me become more like him. Remember what it said in John 15:2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. What is God doing in our lives? What is the trials he's bringing in our lives? Is there a sin that we need to work on? Is it something that he's trying to teach us so we can help someone else in the future? Or is he just trying to make us vessels unto honor? It says in 2 Timothy 2, verses 20 and 21, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. I wonder if we would learn how to purge ourselves from the things of this world, and we would learn through Bible reading and understanding the word of God, and we would clean up ourselves, how much less work that God had to do when it comes to purging us. God is looking for a clean vessel. Now, I like a buffet restaurant. I don't know about you, but some people like to be served. I like going to a buffet restaurant. I like going to the buffet restaurant when I'm hungry. But one thing I learned from working at Golden Crow, that was one of my first jobs, working at Golden Crow as a dishwasher, one of the things that can make you sick is when you get up to there and you grab your plate and it's dirty. or when you pick up a fork, you always want to look at that. You want to clean those forks off. You want to clean those plates off. Just kind of brush it off because they can be dirty. And you're not going to want to eat on something that is dirty. You have to get rid of it and clean it. They wash hundreds, thousands of dishes a day. But you want to make sure it's all the way clean. And it's the same thing with, you know what, we want to be used by God. We do. I don't think there's anybody who would not say that, hey, I want to be used by God in a great way. But are we willing to be purified first? The trials that come into our life, they're for a purification process. And that's what it says, that the trials of your faith being much more precious than of gold. And the gold, you see what it says? It perisheth. It goes away. But if we gain rewards, if we become like Christ and we gain rewards and we put rewards up in heaven, they're not going to be going away. The trials are going to produce rewards in our lives and treasures that go up in heaven, and they're not going to go away. That's why these trials are even more important and more valuable than the wealth and the gold or those precious things in this world that we have, because God is making us more like His Son. And you see the last one is the praise of trials, that we might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. When life ends, we stand before God. I mean, if we would all live our life saying, when my life is over, I'm going to stand before God. I'm going to live my life today acting like this is it. We were reading those prayer requests. I don't remember which one it was or who it was. And he says, live your day as if it was your last day. You know, that's pretty good advice anyway. Live your life like you might meet Jesus Christ today. Live your life like you might be standing in the presence of God today. Boy, that changes the way we do things and changes what we're going to think about, changes our motivation, changes who we want to talk to, or changes it. When life ends, we stand before God. We want everything to be as He intended. Epaphras prayed that the church of Colossae would stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. The trials we face help ready us for that meeting day. You know what? Those little trials we face today, even though they seem big now, someday when we stand before God, it's going to be like they were just for a brief second, because they helped us become more like Him. 1 John 2:28 says, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." The only thing that will matter when life is over is whether or not we had brought praise to God through our lives. That's why He created us, so that we should be to the praise of His glory. And the Bible says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." So what do these verses do for us? Verse number 5 tells us, look, you got assurance of your salvation. We can be content in knowing that God, we are in the hand of God. Verse number 6 teaches us those three important things about trials. They're not going to last forever. It's just for a season. And I know you might say, I've had this bad back for all my life. Well, that's still just for a season, because when eternity comes, it's not going to be there anymore. And that's what it says, if need be, there's a purpose for what you're going through. Sometimes when I pray and I ask God, why are you allowing me to go through this? I'm honest with you. You know, I tell Him, Lord, can you hurry it up? Whatever I need to learn, Lord, teach me quickly, because I can't live through this anymore. I can't handle this anymore. I don't know how in the world I can continue on this way. But, you know, we talk like that. But in all reality, when we look back at all this situation, we're like, why did that bother us so much? Why that really didn't affect me. That really didn't change. That didn't really hurt me as bad as I thought it was hurting me. I'm still here. I'm still alive. I'm still doing this. I'm still serving. You know, we got to have our trials in certain perspective. And that's where it says, if need be. If God is allowing you to go through something, there's a reason. There's a purpose for it. Allow Him to have a complete, thorough work in you. As David talked about, wanting truth in the inward parts, letting Him do a complete, thorough work in you. And that takes time, that takes meditation, that takes reading the Word of God, and just getting close to Him. And it says the manifold temptations. Once again, one person's temptation or trial could be physical, one could be emotional, one could be financial. And you look at the one that's physical and you say, oh, they just need to toughen up and just keep on going. And you look at the one that says financial and they says, well, they just need to do this. Everybody's temptation is different. Everyone's trial is different. It is what God is trying to do, if need be, in that person's life. So don't try to figure out someone else's trial or their temptation. Instead, realize they are manifold temptations. They all face different things. It is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And don't get discouraged just because so-and-so doesn't have any problems dealing with their sickness. Let God do the work in your heart and in your life. And in verse number 7, embrace the trials. Pastor, you're supposed to embrace the trials. Well, it says here in verse number 6, ye greatly rejoice. In verse number 7 is that your trial is precious, that you should, if it's precious, it's something that we should embrace. It's purifying, and it's to the praise and honor of God. I don't know if I get it all, if I understand it all, but as I think of Peter writing this to these first century Christians that are facing these great, horrendous trials, he's saying, look, you're in God's hand. God, you had the foreknowledge of God. He knows exactly where you're at. You're in his hands. Remember, these trials are for a season. Remember, they are for a purpose. And remember, they're going to come to you in a lot of different forms, a lot of different ways. Don't get discouraged. View these trials as something precious, a time and an opportunity where you can learn and depend and become more like God. I know that's a tough thing to do, but that's what Peter is encouraging these Christians to do. And I think that's what God would want us to do with the things that come in our life. We know that God loves us. We know God's all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere, has that foreknowledge. If he's allowing us to go through something, it's not because he doesn't know it. It's because he wants us to learn something. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed.